Starting a little early, so that means we get out earlier, right? Jim. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just want you to be glorified. The songs that we sang lifted your name up, and we want to do that with this message also. Again, Father, I pray, help me get out of the way. Let your Holy Spirit teach us, remind us, convict us where we need to be convicted. And Father, help us to apply what we learned tonight, what we're reminded of, and just help us to be thankful that we are part of your family. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Okay, so tonight, as you can see the slide, everybody in the world that's ever preached a message or taught a Bible lesson has taught on the whole armor of God. It's just a subject that you can find in every book, every commentary that you read. As I've said many times before, what I have to say is nothing new. If it was, you should stone me. You know, so I want to preach the Word of God accurately, and hopefully tonight I can do that, and that you might be reminded of some things. Again, since I've been in 1st and 2nd Peter for about a year, Vince is the only one that knows this, but 1st and 2nd Peter are a part of me, and so just coming off of that, and knowing that I have a message tonight, I wanted to lean over to the whole armor of God. And so, as we get to this passage, one of the things that is important, it helps remind us how we, as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be able to stand firm in the faith. The faith. Not a faith, but the faith. And not if, but when the time of suffering comes to us as a Christian, and how we should be living during this in our life during a time of suffering. And so it's no surprise that we are living in the last days. So we need to know and be reminded that we have to stand firm in the faith. So, I do believe very strongly that we as believers in Christ need to be reminded. And I say it again, Peter, when I read Peter and think about Peter, I think of him as one who reminds. And so, he reminded the suffering saints in two books, he reminded them of the things that they have in Christ. And how important it is. So before I get to the text, as I've been doing usually in Sunday school, as I finish a chapter, I give a short summary of what each chapter was. So I want to do that very quickly, and I just want to hit some highlights of each chapter before we get to chapter 6 of Ephesians. Chapter 1. The apostle introduces himself and addresses the Ephesian believers. He emphasizes God's blessings and spiritual riches that believers have in Christ. Paul highlights God's plan for salvation and redemption, and he prays for the Ephesians to receive wisdom and understanding. That's in chapter 1. Chapter 2, Paul continues to explain the nature of salvation in Christ. He emphasizes that salvation is a result of God's grace and not our own works. That's very important. If we're going to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saves us. And so Paul emphasizes that. It's not by our works, but it's by God's grace. He talks about reconciliation between Jews and Gentiles through Christ's sacrifice. And he encourages believers to live as unified body in Christ. Chapter 3, Paul speaks about his role as a minister of the gospel and the mystery of Christ, which was revealed to him by God. He explains that through the gospel, this is very important, through the gospel, both Jews and Gentiles are partakers of the promise of salvation. Paul prays for the Ephesians to be strengthened by God's Spirit and comprehend the depth of Christ's love. That's chapter 3. Chapter 4. Paul instructs the Ephesians on how to live a worthy and unified Christian life. He emphasizes the importance of humility, unity, and using spiritual gifts for what purpose? To build up the body of Christ. If you are a Christian and you think you have a spiritual gift, but you don't have to use it anywhere in the local church, then your thinking is wrong. Because God has given each believer a spiritual gift to use in the local church to build up the body of Christ. And so that's very important. In chapter 4, he also exhorts them to put off the old way of life and to walk in righteousness and love. Chapter 5, Paul encourages believers to imitate God and walk in love, avoiding the sinful behaviors of the world. He highlights the importance of sexual purity, wise living, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. He also provides instruction for healthy relationships and within families and encourages believers to submit to one another in love. Chapter 6, this is where we're going to be tonight. Paul addresses various relationships and responsibilities within the family and society. He speaks about the importance of children obeying their parents. Children, obey your parents. He speaks about parents nurturing their children, not beating them, but nurturing them. That means caring for them. And he talks about the slaves serving their masters with integrity. And he talks about the masters. He instructs them to do the same with integrity because they have a master in heaven that they are accountable to. So Paul teaches about the spiritual battle believers face and need to put on the whole armor of God and stand against the spiritual forces of evil. So I want you to just follow along. Now I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I've got a small print here. I printed it out so I could read it. So follow with me, starting with verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore. How many times has this been said? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, I just want to touch on the armor. He says, take up the whole armor. And for Paul to write, finally, now, as you know, when most pastors get up and they say, finally, they got about an hour left, you know. And, well, I'm not going to do that. My message is rather short tonight. But I want to make a clarification here, that when he writes finally, he means that he is speaking in light of what has been said in the other chapters and right now. So, what are we to consider? We're to consider all that God has done for us. We're to consider the glorious standing that we have as a child of God. We are to consider his great plan of the ages that God has made us a part of. We are to consider the plan for Christian maturity and growth that he gives. We are to consider the conduct God calls every believer to live. And we are to consider the filling of the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean flopping around like a fish out of water, being filled with the Spirit. So keep that in mind. And we are also to consider all this. There is a battle to fight in the Christian life. So he's giving us all these instructions from chapter 1 to chapter 6. And then he finally says, you know, we got to take up the whole armor of God because there's a battle that we're going to fight. All right? So the first thing, let's see if this clicker will work. Okay. Now, the King James Version and the New King James Version says, gird up your loins, or gird up. And so the actual interpretation of that or translation of that is the belt. Okay? Now, a belt is very important. Some of us have to wear a belt. Otherwise, we're going to lose our britches. And so, especially if we lose more weight. But the girdle or the belt of truth. Some people disagree on how the belt fits in with the whole armor and what its purpose is. So let me share what I have. Before the belt could be used properly, every undergarment had to be put out of the way so that the legs are free to move fast without restrictions. Now, in Bible times, they wore, not dresses, but they wore robes or whatever you want to call them. And so they had to pull them up and put a belt around them so it gets out of the way so they can move freely. Because when you're in a battle or a fight, you want your legs free so you can have a firm stance and you can move. And so the belt is important to get things out of the way. Now, I had a thought, and then I thought, well, it's probably just speculation. But let me share my speculation with you. Because what he's talking about is the things that are restricting a soldier. So they have to move them out of the way. They have to get them out of the way so they can move. Now, my thought was, and I don't know if I'm right on this because I haven't read a commentary that says anything like it. So, and I don't say anything new, so somebody else had to come up with it somewhere. But what if this has to do with some sin that is unconfessed? You know, he said, put on the belt of truth. We have to get rid of the things that are in our way to move freely for Christ. And so, as a soldier's belt is an essential part of his equipment, the belt represents truth and integrity. It signifies living a life of honesty and obedience to the Word, to God's Word. Now, J. Vernon McGee had a thing here. I was sharing with Vince this morning, and I thought it was worth sharing. Now, I don't know if it's true or not, but I thought it was worth sharing because I have a picture in my mind. It's hard to undo when you have a thought, and it's hard to undo a picture sometimes. But let me read what J. Vernon McGee has. He says, the girdle in a Roman garb held everything together. It's sort of like what happened in the Civil War. Many years ago, when I was just a boy, and you know, J. Vernon McGee's been in heaven for a while, but he was old when I was listening to him 49 years ago. And so he says, when I was a boy, a man told me how we won the battle in the Civil War, talking about the North. The uniforms during the Civil War included suspenders. So his side simply cut the suspenders of the enemy. And when they started into battle, they couldn't get their guns because they had to hold their britches up. Now, try to unpicture that. It was much the same for the Roman soldier. It was the girdle that held together everything he had on. Now, William MacDonald says, we must be faithful in holding the truth of God's word, but it is necessary for the truth to hold us. Now, we know that we don't keep ourselves, right? The scripture says God keeps us. So we have to hold God's truth, but also it's necessary for the truth to hold us. We must apply it daily in our lives. And we test everything by truth. We find strength and protection in combat. And then we go to the breastplate of righteousness. Now, there are three kinds of righteousness that the Bible talks about. Number one is self-righteousness. We don't want that one. God wants us to get rid of self-righteousness. That's what the religious leaders had in Jesus' day. And that's what a lot of religious leaders have today, is self-righteousness. And so we don't want that. That is one thing we must get rid of. And it's up to us to get rid of it. And how do we do that? Well, we have to look for the truth about ourselves and what we are. And so self-righteousness is one. The other one is imputed righteousness that the Bible talks about, which every believer is given from God when we receive Jesus as our full payment for sin. Imputed righteousness. This is declaring each true believer positionally righteous before a holy God. So we have imputed righteousness. Now, we want to get rid of self-righteousness. We don't want that hanging around us. We want to get rid of it. And so we have imputed righteousness that is given to us by God when we accept Christ as a full payment for our sin. So God declares us right, righteous before Him. And then there is what is called imparted righteousness, which is practical Christian living in a righteous way, or what we call holy living. This righteousness is a lifelong practice. And we find those instructions throughout the scripture. We are called to live holy. Peter says we need to live holy as God is holy. God says, well, actually God says it, be holy as I am holy. And so we have imputed righteousness from God. We are declared righteous before Him. But yet we have to live a life of holiness in order to please God. And so that's imparted righteousness. Someone said, when a man... Someone said, when a man is clothed in practical righteousness, he is impregnable. Words are no defense against an accusation, but a good life is. And so we want to put on that breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects the soldier's vital organs. Now, years ago, Jay will remember it, 1988, I was run over by a hay wagon. And I have two compressed discs in my back. And I spent 21 days in the hospital. And when I left the hospital, I had I called it a turtle shell. It was a shield, plastic. It was plastic. And it went from front to back, and it had to stretch the Velcro strips on. But it protected my back, and it protected my vital organs inside the front. And so the breastplate of righteousness, now some people say, well, the breastplate didn't have a back to it. I don't believe that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe that. I think it had a back to it. Of course, they were made of leather, and some of them had metal in them, and very heavy. And so the breastplate protects the soldier's vital organs. So in a spiritual sense, it represents righteousness, which is obtained through faith in Christ. So we have imputed righteousness, and we have imparted righteousness. Imparted righteousness is we need to live out, and we can't do this by ourselves. We have to have the Holy Spirit help us live that life of holiness. And so the breastplate of righteousness. Now, it guards our hearts, and it guards our minds against the attacks of the enemy. We as Christians are given imputed righteousness from God, and we are to put on the breastplate of righteousness to live out the imparted righteousness with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so I thought that was pretty good explanation for me anyway, and I hope it's a pretty good explanation for you. You know, the whole intent is that we're all edified. So now we go to the shoes. The shoes of the gospel of peace. David Guzik says this, on the shoes, Josephus described them as shoes thickly studded with sharp nails to ensure a good grip. Another commentator from way back when says the military success both of Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar were due to, in large measure, to their armies being well shod and thus able to undertake long marches at incredible speed over rough terrain. So it's important that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. All right, the shoes represent readiness and preparation. Now, we talk about preaching the gospel to ourselves daily. And it's a good thing that we do that, and I would encourage you to do that, because when we preach the gospel to ourselves daily, and maybe several times a day, we are ready to share with somebody else. And so that's important. But he says that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. So the shoes represent readiness and preparation to share the good news of the gospel of peace, not of war, but of peace. Now we have an armor that is ready for battle, but we are sharing the gospel of peace. They also provide stability and firm footing in the midst of spiritual warfare. As Christians, our feet must be correctly shod and anchored. And the child of God who is not properly shod is going to wobble and stumble. And certainly the enemy will be able to overcome him. So the shoes are important. He said, prepare, keep your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, now we move to the shield. the shield of faith. Ephesians 6, 13 and 14 tells us of the armor to have. Some of the armor we must wear all the time and have as a standing foundation. Therefore, that word therefore comes first. We must be rooted in the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the combat boots of the gospel. This is the way David Guzik describes it. I thought that was a good description. Before we go into battle, we must be rooted in the belt of truth. We must know the Word of God. And so we must know our enemy. Anytime you go into a battle, a war zone, they say you want to know your enemy. We need to know our enemy, and that is the devil, Satan. So, the shield of faith. We must be rooted in the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the combat boots of the gospel. We must have a firm stand where we can fight. Now, Paul will deal with the aspects of the armor we are to take at the necessary moments of spiritual warfare and opportunity. The shield is used to defend against the fiery darts of the enemy. In this context, it represents our faith in God and His promises. How are we going to stand? We have to remember what we have in Christ, and we have to understand and remember to be rooted in the Word of God, the belt of truth. And so we must remember that. So the shield is used to defend against the fiery darts of the enemy. It represents our faith in God and His promises. With faith, we can quench the enemy's attacks and protect ourselves from doubt and fear. Now, a lot of times we might run around with doubt and fears. The Scripture says we are not given the spirit of fear. And we are able to overtake with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are able to live a holy life. We are able to quench those fiery darts when they come. And so we have a shield of faith. Shield of faith. It's a part of us. And so it's in front of us. That's what a shield does. It's in front of us. Okay, now we go to the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation protects the soldier's head. The head is important. The first thing people want to do is chop off the head of the enemy, right? If there's a snake, you want to chop the head off. I was watching a program some time ago, and it was a reality show. This guy in Louisiana, he's a hick. And he was out doing things, and a snake bit him. And so he picked it up and bit the head off and put it in his pocket. He said, "I'm going to have you for lunch." And so anyway, you know, the thing you want to go to with the enemy is you want to go for the head. And so the helmet of salvation protects the soldier's head, which is a symbol of our minds and our thoughts. The helmet of salvation represents our assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ. It guards our minds against the lies and deceptions of the enemy. And so the helmet of salvation is a very important part of the armor of God. And then we go to the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the only offensive weapon. Now, some people might disagree, and I understand that, because when I read this, I thought, well, I don't know. Jesus used it in a defensive way when he was tempted, and he said, "It is written. It is written." And then the devil left him. And so, but the sword is the only offensive weapon mentioned in the list. It represents the Word of God, which is described as a sword of the Spirit. By knowing and applying scriptures, we can counter the enemy's attacks, expose falsehood, and bring about victory. Let me read that again. By knowing and applying scripture, we can counter the enemy's attacks, expose falsehood, and bring about victory. And so that is the sword of the Spirit. Now, one more to go here. Prayer in the Spirit. Now, some people, well, I should say some of us, have had different backgrounds in some crazy churches. And so, praying in the Spirit. Now, we've got to get this right. It's not speaking in tongues where you don't understand what you're saying. It is pouring out your heart to God and letting Him lead you to pray in His will. All right? Praying in the Spirit, while not mentioned as a physical piece of armor, prayer is emphasized as an essential part, an essential aspect of spiritual warfare. It is our means of communication with God and seeking His guidance, not ours, but His guidance, His strength, and His protection. Praying in the Spirit is inspired and led by Him. Not speaking in an unknown language and flopping around like a fish out of water. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that, but sometimes it just makes you want to laugh, and sometimes it just makes you want to cry because they're so deceived. So let me note this. These pieces of armor are not merely physical items, but symbolic representations of spiritual attributes and actions. When we put on the whole armor of God, and it doesn't say put on the belt of truth and forget the breastplate of righteousness. He says put on the whole armor of God. You don't want to go into battle without the whole armor. Okay? When we put on the whole armor of God, we are equipped. First of all, we are equipped. What's the purpose of the church? To equip the saints. Why do we have to equip the saints? Because there's a battle. There's a spiritual battle, and we need to be equipped for it. And so, We want to try to equip the saints that way. So when we put on the whole armor of God, we are equipped to stand firm. How do we stand firm? We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We stand firm. We can stand firm against the schemes and attacks of the devil. And then we can walk in victory that Christ has already won for us. Why is that important? The whole armor of God is important so that we might be protected from the enemy, even though there are going to be fiery darts come our way. There's going to be trials that hurt. There's going to be things that we might get confused about how to battle it. But the Word of God has the answer, and we need to know the Word of God, and we must stand on that. This reminds me of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Let me just read a few things. When Peter is reminding the persecuted Christians of the divine power, remember that, The divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if we would add these seven things to our faith in God through Christ, we would never stumble. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, and that's a summary of verses 1 through 10. Now, I said in a message that Gary Hamrick called it a seven-layer cake. And by the time you get to that seventh layer, it's a beautiful thing, you know. And here's what we do. Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence with power. And that power comes from God only. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, add knowledge. And that knowledge is not only the Word of God, but experiential knowledge with the living God. Add to your knowledge self-control. Add to knowledge, not your knowledge, but God's knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. Add to self-control perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And as I was preparing the message for the whole armor of God, this just goes right with it. We have everything that we need from the divine power of a holy God. He's given us a divine nature. And we need to put it on, the whole armor of God, and we praise Him for it. Now, let me close with this. We need each other to help us stand firm. We can't do it on our own. If you think you don't need the church, the local church, the local family, because you can handle everything by yourself, you need to think differently. We need each other to help us stand firm in this spiritual battle that is already at work in our time. And some of us believe it is going to get worse if the Lord tarries. Let's keep our focus on Christ and put on the whole armor of God, for He is the one that we serve. He's the commander-in-chief of the spiritual army. And we need to follow Him, and we need to put on the armor of God the way He tells us to. And we need to have the belt of truth. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We need to have the breastplate of righteousness. And we need to have the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is very important. Our instructions come from Him, and we need to follow Him. And so, that is my message, and I hope it was beneficial. We want the Lord to be glorified. Just a simple guy. And so, I guess we're going to have a last song, and you're going to close in prayer. Okay.